This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Thoughts Become Things podcast. I am so glad you guys decided to join us today. Hey, I'm Jeremy Lopez, and I don't know about you, but I've had a great week so far. We made it through the hurricanes. Thank you, Lord. We all made it through the hurricanes. You know, those in Florida we prayed for, and yet a lot of them are still finding a place of recovery within the islands and within Florida. And, you know, we continue to pray for those people, do we not? We want to be able to continue to pray that God will begin to restore back everything that they've lost. And we know, thank you, Lord, that we know the hurricanes are not God's punishment, not God's judgment, but we know the weather patterns of the world just tend to go that way. We can call it climate change, which I believe in, or we can call it whatever. But the truth of the matter is, folks, creation's moaning and groaning. We forget that creation is moaning and groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And you know, let's just face reality, folks. That means that the earth, creation, sort of aggravated a little bit. Creation's aggravated because it's waiting on me and you to get in the right place at the right time, is it not? Waiting on us to be who we're called to be in this world. And so, you know, we continue to pray for those who creation tends to aggravate sometimes and throw them some rain and hurricanes and tornadoes. And, you know, we want to be able to pray for those that, you know, that are lost loved ones and lost homes and cars. And so keep all of them, continue, folks. Keep them in your prayers today. And I want to talk about today on this podcast something along the same lines of, is it God or the devil? You know, it tends to be the common denominator between most of my life coaching sessions is people with what we call extremities. Now, many of you might feel like you're one of those people, you know, in the sense of, but Jeremy, it's got to be God or it's got to be the devil. But you know, folks, one of the things, if you look at science and if you look at meteorologists who actually can explain all this stuff, we can begin to understand that truthfully, you know, some of the hurricanes that we see come about within August and September coming down to the, you know, the East Coast and stuff, we tend to get it from, you know, we had Katrina years ago in Louisiana. We've had Harvey, you know, in Texas, and now we have Irma, you know, hitting, you know, down in Florida. You know, the reason why it hits a lot in the East is because we can prove scientifically and basically just from the world's climate that we can see where it comes from, one of the driest deserts off of South Africa. Did you know that? If you look at the way the world, the wind blows and the way that it blows off the deserts, it actually hits from the warm heat to the cold air, and it begins to stir up and begins to cause hurricanes. And so we can look at that and say, it is creation, folks. It is creation. It is the earth. It is the world. It is something in which we live in where cold and hot tends to blend together the wrong way. And we know that, you know, from studying to show ourselves approved. And so when we look at that, we need to realize, is it God? Or is it the devil? Or is it the fact that we live in a world that's fallen? That we live in a world that tends to put the blame on something? You know, here's the way I look at it. And this is one thing I want you to begin to really think about, because I think maturity really speaks volumes here when it deals with the troubles of our own personal life and the troubles of the earth and the troubles within families and churches. Is it's not always the devil, folks. You know, and then we go to that place where we shift the blame maybe on God, but we don't want to blame God too much, because those who have maybe a warped sense of, you know, theology might say, well, God might strike me dead. God might be mad at me. You know, he's in a bad mood, so I can't come before him and tell him how I feel or tell him like it is. The truth is, folks, God is not threatened by your words. He's okay with it. God's a big boy. He can take the fact that you are expressing your heart of how things are going on, correct? So, when we look at this, we have to understand that what if because we live in a fallen world, that things just tend to happen, and when things tend to happen, and then we see where vibrationally we begin to attract things into our lives. So here's my situation on the hurricanes, or my belief on hurricanes and problems that we go through, trying to find jobs and trying to see if this marriage will work and trying to see if that'll happen. Folks, we have to look at life and face the reality that because we live in a fallen world, people have their own opinions and their own options and their own ideas. And there's so many choices in restaurants and so many choices of theaters and so many choices of movies and so many choices of everything. I mean, you know, beds, man, you can get a king size, queen size, a double bed, a single bed. You can get a California king. I mean, everything in the universe that we find within the creation, there's now so many choices and options. So many. And because of that, we live in a world where it affects people's consciousness, which means people have the right to choose if they don't want this job or if they do want this job. If they want to stay with their husband, stay with their wife, maybe through situations, or maybe we tend to look and realize that things in life will happen where people maybe might not be qualified for a position or a job. And yet sometimes we look at that and we say, gotta be the devil, gotta be the devil. God's in this thing for me getting promotion. God wants to bless me financially. And I would say 101% yes. Our Heavenly Father, He says, no good thing will withhold from you. But here's the key thing. Instead of beating yourself up and trying to target what it is maybe that's wrong with you, what if something's right with you? What if, well, you know, Jeremy, well, if something was right with me, then how come I'm not getting the job? Well, you know, folks, let me tell you something. When we look at reality and we say, okay, how come I didn't get this position? It has to be the devil, because God's promised me this and this and this and this and this. And we can go all through the Word of God on all the powerful, amazing verses of God wanted to prosper us, God wanted to get us in health, and you know, God wanted to do this, God's in reconciliation. But notice how God said, notice how God put it in our hands. Now think about this. He says, I have given you the ministry of reconciliation. Isn't that what the scripture says? He doesn't say supernaturally, because of who you are, you will all the time, constantly have reconciliation with everyone you argue with. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, I've given you the ministry of reconciliation, which means the ministry or the anointing, whatever you want to call it, the gifting, the talent, whatever it is that God gives us the ministry for of reconciliation, means it's in the palm of our hand, which means we have to direct it in the way it needs to go, which means we have a special ministry that we can actually access and engage with situations to hopefully with our personality, with our character, with our words that we choose to, the power of life and death out of our tongue, you know, with how we can be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Notice how all of these tend to come back on us. Think about that. Tend to come back on us. And because it comes back on us, then it's our responsibility to say, you know, okay, God, I can do one of two options. I can either act immature and blame it on you, and why are you holding this back from me? Why are you holding this back from me? Why are you holding me back from deliverance? Why are you holding me this back for this? Why won't you bless me? Why won't you bless me? And then we tend to go into the Old Testament. Have you ever, how many of you have ever heard people like that? Then they want to go to the Old Testament. Well, you know what? Abraham, and then Ishmael, and then we see Isaac, and then we see, you know, Jacob, and we go through all the Bible characters of the father's inheritance. And we love the Old Testament, do we not? We love it. It's got powerful stories and it's got powerful things we can learn from because it's part of the Bible. But yet, we don't tend to pay attention to the very man who died for us, that gave us life and life more abundantly, about what he says about things and about how the New Testament, folks, in which you're under of better precious promises, how it begins to cater more towards what if things were in your hands a little bit more. Now, I know some of people tend to look at life and say, oh, my goodness, you're going to take away the glory of God. Now, hold me out. Hold out for a minute. As if you could truly take the glory of God away from him. Now, I want all of us to think about that for a moment. As if we could actually, as human beings, take the glory away from God. Folks, come on now. Really? If I could take away the glory from God, then maybe I'm a God myself. You see what I'm saying? No one can take away the glory of God. No one can. He gets the glory. And so when you see it from that angle, you understand that no one can take something from God. God is in everything. God already has what he needs. He's not going to look at you and say, how dare you? I'm suffering because you didn't praise me and give me what rightfully belongs to me. The truth of the matter is God is sufficient within himself. God doesn't need anything. He wills himself to want us in his life. But folks, the truth of the matter is he's fine without us. You see what I'm saying? And so it's by his grace and his mercy and his love and his compassion that he wills for us to be a part of this great scheme of life, this great grandeur plan of creation to begin to co-create with him. And so what is as you say, he turns around and he says, you know, hey, you have the power of life and death in your tongue. You choose to stay whom you will serve. You know, no matter how many times I tend to tell people what the scriptures say in which they claim to know, we still get back around to, but why won't God do this for me? Think about it. Why won't God do this for me? Well, you know, here's my question. Is what are you doing for yourself in God? Now think about that. What are you doing in yourself through God? What are you doing? What are you as a human being in your identity doing through God to make something happen? See, it all depends on your theology. It all boils down to what is your theology? Is my theology that thing of, oh, but not I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me? And yet not understanding that scripture, what it really means? It basically means not really my will and not really what I'm craving in a selfish way, in a self-centered, in an egotistical way. It doesn't mean God has nothing to do with our desires and our wants, because He's fine with it. He wants to give us the desires of our heart. So we have to remember, it doesn't mean God says, you don't have a choice to matter. I don't care what you like or don't like. I'm going to do this for you and do that for you. And when I'm ready, I will do it. No. Think about how twisted that can be, folks. How twisted that can be. When we realize that Christ has given us all things. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What does that mean? It means I have everything it takes to make it in this world. And I have everything to what it takes to automatically go before the Lord. Life and godliness. I can access what I want. I have the power of keys in my hand to bind and loose. And so these things, folks, have been given to us. And because of that, maybe you're not getting the job that you're desiring. And why, God, aren't you allowing me to get this job? Have you ever thought maybe your resume needs to be fixed? Think about that. Maybe your resume needs to be tweaked or fixed. Maybe it boils down to, hold on a minute. What was Adam did? He blamed Eve. Are you with me? When he should have been blaming himself. What if it boils down to the fact that maybe you have something to still work on and you have something to still fix? It doesn't mean you're a bad person. Folks, let me tell you something. I look at my life every day and I realize I'm an amazing person because God created me to be amazing, just like He created you to be amazing. But it doesn't mean I'm perfect, and it doesn't mean that I'm going to get it right every time. It doesn't mean I'm going to get everything right on a resume, nor does it mean I'm going to get it right on every podcast. Nor does it mean that my words are going to be absolutely 100% ordained by the Lord Almighty. Come on. I mean, if you think about it, folks, God works in these vessels that has a lot of selfishness in them and a lot of egotistical thinking. No matter how many times you think you've been in the Word, no, I don't care if you're in the Word morning, noon, and night, and you're in prayer 24/7, you still live in a natural body. You are spirit living in a natural body. And because you are, folks, there's going to come a little bit of selfishness out of you. It's just life. It's because of the fall. Blame it on Adam. But basically take a responsibility for yourself. But do you see what I'm saying? You have to come to that place, that realization, that don't always say, why isn't God doing this? The most, probably one of the worst damages I've ever seen in my life within the charismatic Pentecostal move is, first of all, yes, we praise God. We take the Bible for what it says. We read the scriptures. We know what God says, and God's going to do that for me. Praise God. We love that, do we not? And we should, because God's word will not return back to God void. But on the other hand, though, there's a lot of responsibility. Here's what I tell people. When you read the scriptures, never, ever, ever read the scriptures to say, God said this, that He's going to do this. Never do it that way. Never. You might say, oh my gosh, really? No, don't do it. Never read a scripture to say, God told me this to do, that He's going to do this for me. Hallelujah. No. That's not the way you should read the Bible. You should read the Bible and say, God said He would do this in my life. And here's what you do with every single solitary verse in the New Testament. Is say to yourself, and He also requires me to do my part. God, you know, how many times have people said, oh, it's not by works as any man should boast. Therefore, my salvation is based on Christ and Christ alone. Nothing I could do. Well, I beg to differ. Didn't you have to actually ask Him into your heart? Didn't you actually have to call upon the name of the Lord that you shall be saved? Didn't you have to open your mouth? Didn't you have to decree and declare that Jesus is Lord? Hello. So folks, I have to tell you, my favorite saying is it takes two to tango. It did take your part in order for salvation to work for you. Are you with me? It did take something on your behalf to be able to acknowledge, to say, to come into agreement, and then not just that, but make the effort to have a change of heart, to renew your mind, to change your mind. And so see, everything in the kingdom, folks, is not about, oh, why won't God do this for me? It's about what God said He would do this, and what is my part? Here's the way you need to look at it. This is the best, easiest way for people to look at the scriptures. When you read the Bible, you should take it and say every single word. You should say, my husband, talking about the husband versus the bride, because we're the bride of Christ, I would say, my husband says this and this and this, he's going to do this for me. And as a good wife, as a good bride, this is what I'm going to do because I want to please my husband and he wants to do this for me, so I'm going to do this for him because we both will get the job done together. That's the way you should look at it. Because if you look at it and say, why won't God give me this job? I'm in His Word. I'm praying. I'm reading. I'm doing this. And I want somebody to say, but yet you say you're humble, but I keep on hearing I. So you've been in the Word. You've prayed. Okay, well, that still goes back to this little small I, as if God, as if you're going to twist God's arm to make God do something because you have aligned and you've done exactly what He's told you to do. The truth matters, you haven't. What you've done is you've sacrificed through praise and you've sacrificed, per se, of memorization of the Word, but the Word without works is dead. Faith that works is dead. If you're reading the Bible and you're not taking the Word and sending it forth in an action format, folks, it doesn't matter how many verses you know, you don't know the Scriptures. Come on, then you don't know the Scriptures. It doesn't take memorization of the Scriptures and then put it in God's hands and forcing God and twisting God's arm to make God work for you because He said He would. He's not a genie in a bottle. He is not a Santa Claus. He's a God who lets us know automatically that here's what I'm going to do for you. Here's my part. Here's my part. Now, what is your part? If the Bible says, come before my throne or bring your petition before me, come and reason with me. Reasoning means you have something to say. You have something to offer. You are bringing something before Him. If you bring something before Him, why would you do that? Why would God request that? Because He's bringing something before you as you bring something before Him. And so everything involves you and Him and you. So even in a place, let's say, for example, of sickness, so many people say, well, Jeremy, I've been sick for years. I mean, I have gone through deliverance. I have gone to doctors. I've gone to prayer people. Then the woman with the issue of blood, she even went to all these doctors. It's interesting to me, folks. Listen to me. It's interesting to me how the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible makes it plain that she's been to physicians. She went to a lot of doctors and nobody could help her. And so as charismatics, we take that and we say, that means doctors cannot help us. Let's turn to the Lord and Lord only. Or maybe if I'm careful, I can go to one doctor. If he diagnosed something, then I can put him down and say, I don't have that in Jesus' name. Don't tell me that. And then run to Jesus. Well, that's sort of cruel to the doctor, is it not? When knowing that his job is to let you know what he sees in the natural, he's not going to have a spiritual mind to understand where you're coming from. So the Bible says that spiritual things are discerned by spiritual people. And so therefore, if you think about it, the doctor is just telling you from his education of what facts are telling you, not the truth of the Spirit that overrides the natural, that has to be implemented by your faith and by making a change, such as making a change in diet. Your dietary foods should change. And here's why we have to understand this. A lot of times we say, but God said He's the great physician. God said He's this. If the doctors didn't work out for her, then the doctors won't work out for me. On the contrary, I know a lot of people who've been saved by doctors who actually live longer lives because of doctors finding cures. And so let's not put down the things God has sent to us, folks. Are you with me? Luke was a physician. It never says that he dropped it and never did it again. Doesn't say he continued it either. But we have to remember, there are things in this world that are not bad, folks. And people pay a price for education, for research, for scientific facts. We're trying to cause people to live longer. And a lot of things have been right on the money. How many of you know of people that if it had not been for doctors and surgery, your parents or people would have been dead? And so you have to remember, gives people some credit. You have to give doctors credit and physicians credit to say, you know what, I really credit you and I praise you, because the Bible says give praise where praise is due. I praise you and I credit you for your deep studies of sacrifice, and you've helped. We don't say they've completely done that. They've helped to save someone by performing the surgery, or they've helped somebody in this area or that area. And so what we need to do, first of all, is get balanced to say that as charismatic people, we should be balanced to say doctors can help, all right, because they have saved many lives, and yet God Almighty likes to be able to come in there as powerful, as awesome as the great physician is, come in there as Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals us, and begin to intricately begin to, you know, weave his way into the body and begin to heal it as well. But we also have to remember the Bible says something else that we forget about. Physician, heal thyself. And it means physician doesn't mean the doctors, it means us. Because of the fact we have to remember that we have to heal ourselves as well. So that means, guess what? Once again, it goes back to us. And so we look at this and we say, but you don't understand. I've been through doctors, Jeremy. I have prayed. I have fasted. I have gone through deliverance. Maybe it's a demon. And I want somebody to say, okay, you know what? Then now you're going to be faced with the toughest sacrifice you've had encounter so far up to date. What is that? It's not about praise all the time. It's not about praying all the time, because that should automatically be your foundation. It's about the greatest sacrifice, and that is this. Put down your Diet Cokes. Put down your sugar drinking, you know, your sugar aspartame. That's we know that you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a genius to know it causes cancer. Put down the snacks. Put down the sugar. Put down the foods that are, you know, put down processed foods that have chemicals that are known to feed into cancer. Put down meats that are processed and that have been injected by things of, you know, that these farms are doing. Put, you know, these industries. Put down things and start eating plant-based things that are healthy. Start eating organic things. Folks, let me tell you something. I could not begin to tell you the number of people I've encountered throughout the years who literally went to a doctor. The doctor said, in fact, one lady I know very well, who she's a public speaker, and she said, and believe it or not, folks, she was spiritual, but she wasn't really a Christian. And yet he says, you've got this, you've got cancer embedded within, you know, this organ, and I'm going to give you 10 years and you're going to die. I mean, you're not going to, excuse me, my fault, folks. They said, you're probably not going to live for about 2 years and you're going to be dead, because it's incurable. We can give you radiation, but you know, it's just incurable. You know what she did? She literally took physician, heal thyself, and wasn't even a Christian, took that into her own hands and said, you know what? I can discipline myself and I will prove the doctor wrong. And you know what she did? She went to an extremity of eating raw vegetables. She started eating plant-based food. She cut out every meat. She cut out every, I mean, she didn't eat any sugar. She didn't eat anything that was processed. She ate exactly what the earth produced. And folks, 10 years later, she went back and he says, there's not even a trace of cancer, not even a trace. And this is a documented proof where she went back several times and he said, it's there, it's growing. And yet, guess what? When she changed her mind and changed her diet, guess what happened? That was her warfare that fought the good fight of faith for her. It doesn't take away the glory of God. It takes away from our ignorance and takes away from our stupidity, for lack of better words, and adds to the wisdom that God has given us, that everything we need, the resources, folks, we already have on the earth. And so I said all that to say this. You have to look at life and your reality and say, in any and all situations of my life, am I doing what it takes? Not in, and here's a key thing, folks, not even in my own natural knowledge, but supernatural knowledge, I'm going to start seeking that I may find. I'm going to start researching things to see if maybe it is my resume that I've messed up on. If it is eating healthier, of things maybe that I need to learn and study up on? Is it through working out at the gym that maybe I need, because I can't, you know, sleep at nighttime? And that's a lot of times people's problem. They said, I've bind the devil, I can't sleep at nighttime. And I say, well, are you exercising? Are you overweight? Are you eating healthy? Are you doing everything that you know to know how to do, and then going the extra mile by doing research to figure out things maybe the way you're eating might be wrong? So folks, let me tell you something. We have to be able to face reality, and that is, are you doing your part? If you can't do your part, don't expect expect God to do His part, because it takes two to tango. And He's the creator, we're co-creators, and we work together with an amazing God who promised us all these wonderful, amazing things, but also told us, but I really need your participation. I need you to step up and do what's right and be able to take care of yourself, make a sacrifice, and begin to do what you know you need to do. And so, folks, is everything the devil? No. Is everything God? No. There's a lot of things that is a mixture of both, but the problem with most people is ourselves. That's why the Bible says the carnal mind of man is God's enemy. That's what the Bible says. Never even says the devil's God's enemy. Nowhere. Nowhere. That's the devil's our enemy. The devil, your adversary. So our problem, it's God's problem, and that is the mind. The thoughts, because we're so stubborn-headed that we refuse to do anything on our part and yet not really make the sacrifice to go all the way to make sure we do everything we can do and then let our work, per se, our sacrifice work with the sacrifice He died for us on the cross and let it work together. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It didn't say or, it said and. It takes two, folks. His blood matches our testimony, and that's how we overcome. I hope you guys enjoy the podcast today. I'm so excited, folks. We just launched out recently. So, God, we've been launching out so many teaching sets recently. I just launched out a new teaching set called Prophetic Boot Camp. Isn't that awesome? Prophetic Bootcamp series. It's a digital download set only. We have it on our website, identitynetwork.net, and it really talks a lot about the things about the prophetic that we need to know, and I'm going to teach you how to fight with your prophetic word. That's what one of the modules in that course talks about. The teaching set is how to fight with your prophetic word. So go to the website or call the office and say, I want that Prophetic Bootcamp series. And our office number is 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. And just say, I want to order the Prophetic Bootcamp Digital Download Series by Jeremy Lopez. All right. You guys have a blessed week, and we'll talk to you next week on Thoughts Become Things.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.